It was difficult to be a cleric in communist Czechoslovakia, but some people continued to serve their churches as best they could, despite pressures from the party. Among them was the now retired Protestant clergyman Tomáš Bísek, who is Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's edition of One on One.
Protestant cleric Tomáš Bísek was forced to leave Czechoslovakia in the 1980s for his dissident activities and spent over a decade ministering in Scotland. His family had been active members of the Evangelical Church of Czech Brethren, and despite the communist regime, he himself had eventually become a clergyman in a small town in the Bohemian Moravian Highlands. However, his life became increasingly difficult after he and his wife signed the Charter 77 protest document. I began the first half of a two-part interview by asking Mr. Bísek, who was born in 1939, what he recalled of World War II.
I clearly remember that we lived in Dobeška, which is really a little hill. You see the river and the Prague in the distance, and there was a danger during Prague uprising that they bombarded this part of Prague by the Germans. So we moved to the bank of the Prague. I remember the tanks, you know, shelling, light shells. That was first. And the second was back to this lovely house when we could see Prague, and when the Prague was bombarded by Allies, really very, very end of the war. Emmaus monastery was really in flames. I remember that very clearly, you know. And later when there was the parades with rockets and this, you know, what you call it, wonderful.
Fireworks?
Fireworks. In my memory, I always combined it with this horrifying events of the end of the Prague. I never enjoyed it, in fact.
To jump forward slightly, you first graduated from the Czech Technical University.
Yes.
But did you always want to minister, or was that something that came later?
Not clearly. In fact, with my mother, who was awfully strict in a sort of formal religious way, I always suffered to take the services or Sunday school, whichever. I really hated it. But it was really due to the actions of, let's say, party or teachers that slowly I felt awkward with the system. And it was actually during the study at the Technical University, we had part of the program was Marxism, Leninism and all this stuff. And we had a few weeks ago, we had a 53rd anniversary meeting with some colleague of mine, and they said, Tomáš, you always were called by us as an individual, because through these discussions with the lecturer of the Marxism Leninism, he said, what about the individual person? What's his role in this way? So it grew through me during that time, and after studying a year of work in the factory and then army conscript, at that time I realized that the numbers for the Faculty of Theology Studies were so limited, officially, I would say, by the party. There I said, perhaps I could do something with it, and applied for the study, and miraculously was accepted with the condition that I would take not just an evening or whichever, but full course. So I spent years and years of studying after Technical University, another 5 years, something which is probably normal now, but in those days it was very unusual.
Well, the 1960s was a relatively liberal time in Czechoslovakia, but I'm still curious how much freedom would religious communities have had in that period?
I think that there was a situation slowly getting closer to Prague Spring, and it was in people's minds. In fact, as we recognized that we should break the chains, the pressure and counter-pressure moving on and off. And in fact, I only later, after everything happened and Russians tanks rolled the streets of Prague, I realized how lucky we were to be, having lived that time through the period approaching to Prague Spring.
And you also studied in America at that time. How was that possible?
Yes, a year after I Actually, at the end of the studies of theology, it was 69, year after the invasion, a group of ours were invited to study abroad. I think the intention of the system was that let them go, they would never come back. Almost everyone actually returned. And an invitation came from Professor Lochmann, a systematics, who was a visiting professor at the Union Theological Seminary in New York. My wife and the daughter joined me later, and everything was quite possible. But the return was different, of course.
Well, after you came back, you were a clergyman in Telezzi in the Wysoczyna, and both you and your wife, Daniela, signed Charter 77 in 1977. What prompted you both to sign that? You must have known that there was a price you would pay for signing it.
It was a process which, in certain ways, started immediately after my return. I couldn't get the state license, as you perhaps everyone knows. No one could act as a clergyman without state license. It was the precondition. Without it, you couldn't. And the clerk, regional clerk of the East Bohemian region, declared Mr. Bisek unwanted. And it was the leading moderator, the head of the Evangelical Church, fortunately, the man who studied in the States prior to the war, old man, who challenged him on the level of Ministry of Culture and eventually got the invitation. It was interesting when he said, but Mr. Bisek was invited and the ministry gave him permission and he returned rightly back to help us. So what's the problem? But later I realized that they never stopped keeping an eye on me. And from 1975-76, there was a first row of interrogations regarding my contacts abroad, the friends, activities, and content of my preaching and actions, plus the fact that people who assigned for religious classes at the local primary school were officially invited to the local mayor office and the director of the school and were warned that those who assigned the children, they would have complicated problems later regarding the studies and jobs. I protested many a time, I would say, and eventually when we got the Charter 77 document, we immediately agreed, both of us, my wife and I, but we would be still worried. But then we saw the list of the first signatories. I recognized some of my close friends from the studies and others who were already facing problems. I said, let's multiply the number of signatories as quick as possible.
I've read some comments from people who signed Charter saying that it was a kind of relief, a kind of line in the sand.
Surely so.
And that from that point, you were in a way free because you had declared yourselves.
Yes. Suddenly the scene was really black and white. You free yourself from all this pressure.
I've often read also that the dissident movement was a kind of broad church with many different kinds of people in it, including disappointed reform communists, strong anti-communists, clerics like yourself. Was it really so harmonious, the dissident world?
I wouldn't call it harmonious in intimacy of some people who, under pressure, there could have been family tensions or colleagues tensions, but regarding the aim or something, we were really walking together. So much so that only through these years, suddenly I found myself in close contacts, which we keep up to date with reformed communists or playwrights or whoever. So that was fantastic. From those times, I recognized that it's like with the refugees now, that it's not clear from certain walks of life that people recognize what it means to be a human being and how much to help. But there is a sort of cross-section through a variety of professions and careers or whichever, that people suddenly free themselves from the pressure and say, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to help.
People say also that it was harder, perhaps much harder, to be a dissident in the countryside than in Prague. People were more isolated. Would you vouch for that?
Yeah, very much so. On the other hand, I can say maybe 25 interrogations. I think I was somehow sheltered by the fact that I was, till 1982, I was safe from physical problems or whichever, but warnings, multiplied. And the fact that in 1979, I found the bags in the ceiling, the microphones, that, of course, was clear declaration of the war. But the police, when they came to the village, sometimes they didn't want me to know that they were there. But it was people working in the field, they recognized them straight on because they maneuvered their cars as if they were in the city. Obviously, they were trained in a big city. Can you imagine a village with 800 people and the car one stop on one place, then 100 yards further on the next day, the same car. Mr. Bisek, Tomáš, the minister, they are there, a glass house.
I was reading that the STB file on you was called Samota, meaning solitude.
Yeah.
Was that a fitting name?
I don't know how they got it, really. It was never really a Samota. But the old party member who started with the interrogation and at the end of his career, he would call the Manzintelezi Hotel, because it was used during the war as a hotel for the partisan movement. But Samota, in fact, I think they recognized that there were people moving from Prague or from Brno, because it was halfway between these two larger cities meeting there. Sometimes we had really for the weekend quite a number of people.
And would you have had people whose names would be well known today visiting you?
Like Hanna Šabatová, or Peter Uhl, Václav Malý.
Bishop.
Yes, these were the people. Jaroslav Šabata as well.
Next week, in the second half of this two-part interview, Tomáš Bisek describes the joys and difficulties of serving as a clergyman in Scotland and his return to the Czech Republic in the mid-1990s.